Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had quite a week. This is a week that nobody would ever, ever forget. But I'm sadly to announce on yesterday, a young man committed suicide. He was 49 years of age. It's unfortunate, but some people believe that he was murdered. I can't quite grasp everybody trying to kill everybody. I cannot see black people killing each other the way it's going on. We had a drive-by shooting Monday. And what happened was the guy was in a SUV with a sunroof. He gets up through the sunroof and shoots at people. He kills an 18-year-old boy. That murder will not be solved. The murder, suicide, whatever it was that happened on yesterday will not be solved. We have the worst. When I say this, and I mean it from my heart, everybody is not willing to talk about law enforcement. Reason unknown. Every single black person in this country should have a beef with law enforcement. They have no knowledge, no wisdom on how to solve any crime. But what they're good at is giving you a ticket. You go steal some lunch meat from Myers or Walmart, they know how to arrest you. They know how to torture you. And here's my thing about law enforcement. They don't come until after a person is shot, killed, beaten. Why would we pay people to come after you're shot, killed or whatever? You see, my issue is this. We have Benton Harbor, the city of Benton Harbor Police Department, and we have Benton Township. Two of the most horrible law enforcement agents in the world. They never saw the crime problem, or the whatever happened, they never saw. They have a history. But here's something they will do. They will do a drug raid because they get federal dollars. Only reason, the more drug raids they do, the more money they get. You see, even if they did a drug raid and they found one bag of crack cocaine or meth, a little dime bag or whatever it is, they count that. That's what they do. Unheard of. And Benton Township, one of the worst police departments, the case with Eugene Anderson, he was on his way. He's black. He was on his way to a crime scene, and he hit a white lady crossing the street. And she died. Now, this has never happened. You can go out here and shoot people, black people, and won't get charged. But he ran over this lady by accident. He didn't do it on purpose. They charged him because she was a white lady. And the judge had the nerve to say, you hit her because she was white. Only in America. But the point is, we accept it. If it's not us, we don't really care. Most of the time, we just don't care. That's how they've been getting away with this stuff for years. It's the same thing over and over and over again, just a repeat. You go to trial here. You get an all-white jury. And the prosecutor, will say, what do we need evidence for? You can dispute evidence, but you cannot dispute no evidence. Make that make sense to me. But this is the time that we're living in. And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because we're sitting on our hands and allowing it. There's been more police killings this year than ever before. Very few have went to jail. A black guy shot a white woman. He was a police officer. Shot a white woman. They sent him to prison for 15 years. In order for a police officer to be sent to jail or prison, it has to be a black one. They don't believe in sending white folks. You know, we're living in this time. It might be time for us to take up a pistol and deal with these people. But the first thing we got to do, we got to stop shooting and killing each other. That's the number one thing. We got to learn to stop shooting and killing each other. We're living in a time. We're living in a time right now where it's not even safe for you to go outside. Not because of white folks, because of black folks. I mean, what do they get out of shooting, wasting bullets? Bullets cost money. Start charging $50 a bullet. Gotta cut back on some of that killing. But the point is, we got to change. We got to deal with Benton Harbor and Benton Township. We got to step to the plate and force them to do their job. I wish there was a way paying them taxes that goes to the police department. I wish. But what they do, they hook it up in your home ownership. So if you don't pay that for the police, they call it protection, but it's not. If you don't pay the police, they'll try to come in and take your home. This is how this operates. And this is, see, all this ties into Whirlpool Corporation, all of this. They don't want Benton Harbor Police Department to actually go out here. They don't want that. See, the Harbor Shore development came about only through undermining democracy, political pressure on public agencies, the theft of land for private profit. Benton Harbor residents, they need jobs with a living wage, affordable housing. They need justice in the courthouse. We're not going to get that because they know that we can't take it. We're so divided up that had diluted our power. But the power to be, which is Whirlpool Corporation, they're the main enemy of the people here in Benton Harbor. But most people can't see it because they don't see, the only thing they can see is what's in front of them. If it's not in front of them, they can't see it. And this is how they've been managed to get away with this for years. They even tell, like, when they have the PGA here, these, you should see the protection they have. I mean, they pay an extra $50,000 for police protection that comes out of your pocket. An extra $50,000 or more that comes out of your pocket to protect these white folks. But yet and still, they can't protect our children, they can't protect you, and they can't protect your neighbor because they have no intention of doing so. And those of you who live in Benton Harbor, Michigan, Benton Township, they have the worst police department in the nation. And they think they're smart. Chief McGinnis was on the Bank Alert show on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day it was. He gave him a butt whooping he'll never forget. It was ugly. It was ugly. But this is what has to be done. We have to stop calling these people out. They're taking our dollars and doing whatever they want with them, and nobody is saying nothing. Nobody. But today I have a very, very special guest. One I even hate to talk about, but somebody need to talk about it. When I have Jessica Gray, her mother's going to be on, her cousin going to be on, and we're going to expand on that today because we actually need the listeners' help. Benton Township Police Department, they blew this. They messed the case up like they do every other case. It's unfortunate, but and it's sad that we have to get out here and have to look for Jessica. This has been 1 year now, nothing. And they don't really care. All they care about getting them tax dollars from me and everybody else. Free money, free money, free money. That's what it is. Free money. But let me bring in Jessica and Caroline. Caroline, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Reverend Pitchy?
How you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
You hanging on in there?
Yeah, I'm hanging on in there. It's tough,
I know. This is the tough part of the year for you. Also, I got Carmella. Carmella, are you there? Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I got both y'all on the line. And first, I'm going to talk to you, Caroline. I want you to just talk. You can say whatever your heart desires. You know, you got over 200,000 people listening to you right now. And these people, they want to help. They don't know what to do. They don't know. They think the Benton Township, I just got a chat, something to chat. What is Benton Township Police Department doing to help Miss Gray? And you answer that. You tell us what they're doing to help you.
Well, at this point right now, I'm saying nothing because for the whole past year, it's still like I don't know what's really going on with my daughter's case. I don't know nothing. You know, a lot of people, they begin talk with and stuff like that, or they've been talking with the police, and they still don't say they don't know anything. So it's like I'm just in the dark, and it's like what is wrong with that? It shouldn't be like that. It's like they're not saying anything. If nobody's not saying anything, I feel like something will happen to my daughter and Benton Township don't really care.
Yeah, and I strongly agree with you. You know, I've been living here in you know, over 35 years myself, and I know who they are and what they are, and I know how they operate. I know this is difficult, and this is the time of year. It's been 1 year. December the 1st, we consider that as 1 year that your daughter been missing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And go ahead.
Yes, it's like this has been one. I mean, this year just went by so fast, you know. I just really just want, because people know something around here. They really do know something. And to me, it's a shame that they don't want to speak up. You know what I'm saying? To let somebody like a mother like me or any parent that's going through this and all the stuff that's going on with the COVID-19, it's a shame that people don't want to stand up and talk and say what they know. You know, I don't get that. I don't get that, you know.
Absolutely. And you know one thing, Caroline, what I discovered is that a lot of times people don't care unless it's their family. You see, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. It's a lot of people. We have talked to a lot of people in reference to this. And what we have discovered is that, and, you know, we're offering even a reward of $3,000 for them to bring forth information. And that's very, very unusual for somebody in this community not to come out and leave. One guy came over to my home. He was going to take me to a location that he think that Jessica might be, but it was an area where I think you guys had already searched on Euclid in the woods there. He took me over there, and he said right up in there in that area, And, you know, but y'all had already been up in there. And I'm also believing that as bad as Benton Township Police Department is, they was even up in there looking themselves. But that was the closest I got to where someone actually wanted to take me and to discover where she might be. Here's my biggest concern. There was the Benton Township Police Department. The day that you was notified, tell me a little bit about that. Can you talk about that today?
Yes, I can. It was a Monday. It was a Monday, and I was going to get my son, and so we was gonna head back out there toward my other son's house. So we were just chilling, and then you know it was around like maybe I say after 6 o'clock, but that's when it started getting dark, and all of a sudden I started getting phone calls. It was like, your daughter just got shot. Your daughter just got shot. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm like, where? And it was like, out there at the old Maggie's place, at the old Maggie's place. So me and my son, we hurried, jumped in the vehicle, and we went to the building. You know what I'm saying? It looked like it was no crime scene or nothing that happened there because there was no crime scene tape around anywhere. It was just like normal. So I told my son to get out and go knock on that door and see if my daughter is there. But by that time, the officer across the street came over, and he went to asking us questions like, what are we doing here, you know? And we was like, you know, I'm looking for my daughter, you know? I said, that's what we doing here. My son was like, we looking for our sister. And then that's when all of a sudden the officer said, well, let's head on down there to the police station. You know, they asked a few questions, you know, stuff like that. But to me, for something to happen, a person that got shot or whatever, it should be crime scene tape around the building so nobody can approach it. Because we would have never approached the building if it had crime scene tape around it.
Absolutely. And here's another thing. There was a big puddle of blood right in front of the door, and yet people could just walk into the blood.
Yes, right. It was blood on the ground, and it was some blood on the door, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. You know, it was just so weird to me, you know what I'm saying? And still, to now I'm like, what's going on? You know, usually when stuff like this happens, you know, as far as our officer, they're supposed to protect us and to protect our children, you know what I'm saying? They're supposed to jump on stuff like that. You know, you're supposed
Absolutely.
To jump on and do what you need to do to find out what's going on. Don't let nothing linger so long. Man, it's been a whole year, and I wonder why they can't bring my baby home. I'm wondering why they can't find her. I am so upset with them. I know it takes time to do all this type of stuff, this look at this stuff, but it shouldn't take this long. Benton Harbor is not that big. This is a little small little town.
Yep, absolutely.
She has two kids, two brothers, you know, a mom and a grandmother, family and friends. And for those that do know something, I'm like, why would they do this? She is the nicest person in the world.
Absolutely.
And for them not to say anything, the more that they not speak up or say anything, it hurts me every day, every day.
It's time for us,
black people, we need to come together on stuff like this. Start
absolutely.
Speaking up. We need to
and,
start
you know,
speaking
and,
up.
And Caroline, you know, one of the things that really gets me is not only the community not speaking up, but also, you know, the Benton Township Police Department. They're not speaking up. They're not telling. I mean, there were so many leads and actually some of the people that he talked to was actually there. But here's what they did. It's obvious they had no training because – all they had to do was watch First 48, and they could have got some pointers on how to deal with these people and get some answers, at least, you know, get closure for the family. But they don't even care. You call them half the time, they won't even call you back.
Yeah, that's not right. We're supposed to come together.
No, absolutely, you know, because, you know, it's Jessica today, it could be you tomorrow. Or your babies tomorrow, or some of these people that's listening, it could be your children tomorrow. We got to get out of that habit of not saying nothing. I think this is an opportunity where people can talk and say stuff. And you know, it's easy to get in the chat room and chat, and you want to know this, you want to know that, but you got to get out there and do something. You people that live in Benton Harbor, it's time that you get off your butt and get out here and stand up for what's right, because too much is going on. We can't depend on the police department to do nothing for us. You know, whether it's township or whether Benton Harbor or the city of Benton Harbor, we cannot depend on them. And it's sad, you know. It's a terrible feeling. I you know that one location that you were out looking at. Did somebody give you a tip that says that it's a possibility she might be there?
Yes, they did. Every little tip that I got, I went out and searched. I've been searching for this whole year. Still today that I'm gonna be searching. I'm searching actually every day, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking, trying to figure out, trying to get in the mind of a person that would do something like this. This is so evil.
Yeah.
This is so evil. To hurt somebody else is not right.
That's right.
It's not right.
That's right. And you know one thing, Caroline, we know who the perpetrator is. They know who the perpetrator is, but yet they literally refuse. He's in prison now on a drug charge, drugs that was found at his house that same night. And he traveled all the way to Columbus, Ohio. Well, I had the opportunity of talking to one of the investigators that arrested him up there. And he also told me that Jessica Blood was found in his automobile that they looked when they arrested him in Columbus, Ohio. They didn't arrest him in Columbus for anything pertaining to Jessica here. They arrested him because they say he tried to rob something up there, which I don't quite get. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, to me it's kind of strange that even though he did what he did here, then he left and got to all the way to Ohio just to do something that simple to get locked back up. I don't know. Something just don't sound right to me in that situation. But I do know that when they found him up there, her DNA was in the back of that vehicle. Mm. And every person that rolled with him, they should be questioned. However they do it, they should be questioned. They should not be walking around here on the streets. They should not be walking around here free.
Absolutely. And that one lady, they didn't. She just happened to be white, and they didn't even squeeze her. Like, you know, once they found out it was Jessica DNA, they haven't talked to her since. That to me makes no sense at all. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. How do we allow them to keep getting away with this stuff? My thing is that to talk about them every week on my radio show and let people all across the country know who these people are, what they're doing, and maybe we can get somebody who's listening to come in and be a private investigator. Also, you had a group that wanted to come in from Texas to help us, and Benton Township didn't allow them. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the good side of that man heart, that organization from Texas, he wanted to bring, I think, over 500 some people and whatever. What he wanted to come and help and search, but he was like, they need the okay from the detective and stuff. And the detective said that he was gonna call them back, you know. But I never know what he talked about. But then we called the people back from Texas. They said they were still waiting on the detective. And I don't understand why would they let them come in if they said they was gonna do it for free of charge.
Yeah. And they was going to pay their own expense to come down here, but you still didn't want them to come. Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to me. I mean, why not get help? You know, somebody willing to help, to help you on this case, you know, make it things smoother for them, you know. Why? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, just because my daughter, was it because she's black? Or was she, because she had a problem or something, that she wasn't important enough? It doesn't matter what anybody do in this world. It doesn't matter. A person is still a human being. You're supposed to love them regardless. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be loving regardless. All of us come from a woman.
Yes.
All of us come from a woman body. You're supposed to love a person regardless. Male, female, you're supposed to love that person. You're not supposed to do people like this. You're supposed to help each other. How you expect us to say something, help y'all when y'all ain't even helping us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, I tell you this, you know.
Reverend Pinckney, this is Francis, and I'm an advocate for Carolina Gray. And I just had to speak up and say that the only crime that's being committed is crime against black on black. And see,
Amen.
White folks love that stuff. They're not going to care if we don't care. And so we killing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We killing
each
other.
Absolutely.
We killing each other. And so that's why they don't care. They never will. It's like a one-third or one-fourth, how you want to say, of slavery. Because we still hurting each other.
Absolutely.
And that's
Francis,
right for the police officers, black, white, or whatever they are, the chief of police or whoever. They sign up for a state job to take care of us, to make sure that we are okay. And if they can't do their job, they need to just step aside and let somebody else do. I think they need to go back to training. All of them do because I got to say this. President Trump messed us all up. That's why George Floyd is dead. That's why a lot of black folks are dead because of President Trump. And I'm just a believer of that. So I'm here for Team Buster. I'm here for Carolina Gray all the time. And that's all I wanted to say, Reverend Pinckney. So here she goes.
Very good. Hey, Francis, I appreciate you. And hey, stay focused. And Carolina, I want you to know we love you. And we're going to do whatever we can to make something happen. But before I want to keep you on the line, I want to bring in Carmella. Carmella, talk to me.
I'm here.
All right, Carmella. Talk to me since, you know, that was your cousin and you have really been an advocate with your, you know, keeping her name out here, especially in the city of Benton Harbor, and we're keeping her name out here right now because this goes all over the country, this goes all over the world. We got people in France, Germany, everybody listening to our program today. And but I want you to talk. I want you to tell us what you want us to know. I know your work.
I want. What I want is somebody from higher up to step in. I have talked to the feds. The feds have told me that they have to have an invite or invitation as well from Benton Township. I have called the detective several times. I have got a tip or a lead. I have got people names. I have got addresses. I have got phone numbers. And not once have they stepped to the people, went to the people, like, it's like unbelievable. Like, if it was anybody else, they would have been cuffed them. They would have been took them to their jail and made them sit until they got an answer or until they got through investigating or until the case was solved. But it's people just running around that know what happened, that was there. They will tell us, oh, we're going to check it out, or we call in, but then they don't call back. You don't hear from them. So about another 2 weeks to go by, and we'll get some more information, and we'll send it to them or call them, and they'll say, oh, we checked this out, but nothing came out, or we got something in the play right now, and we'll get back to you by the end of the week and don't get back to you. It's like a game with them. It's like they just sitting at their desk. Well, I send them off so they won't keep calling. Like when we went out there and we protest, they took her to the back and they sold a dream that they knew wasn't true. That was just to shut us up, to get us out the building, to keep us from going out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, you are 100% correct. You know,
it's just one story after another. So at this point, I think we need some higher up in. But, like, I called the attorney general office, and they say you got to fill out a complaint form. I did that at the beginning, the end of November, and still haven't heard nothing back. Carolina haven't heard nothing back because she would have called me because I put her name and number on there first and then put mine at the bottom. So, you know, South Bend.
Yeah.
They, my friend called and told me that they found a woman humane and everything. First thing I do, I call the people. They call me back. I describe her, maybe height and weight and color of her hair, what it was before she died, what it was when it was died, described all of that. Still haven't heard nothing back from them. But as at the same time, I tell them, when they say they'll call me back, I give them her mom's phone number and tell them, call this number. Her name is Carolina Gray. This is the mom. And then I'll call Carolina, let her know, and Carolina check it out. But it's like a two-way, it's like they not even staying on a one-way. It's like they sending us up the one-way, and they coming up the two-way and just laughing at us. It's like, it's all fun and games to them.
No,
yeah,
absolutely.
But then they got, absolutely. And they got a hotline. They got a hotline. For the little white boy that's been missing since Moby Dick was a sardine, and they said, so well, they got a little hotline for him, that study going on and on and on and on. They want information for that, but where's Jessica Gray hotline?
Absolutely.
Where's her hotline?
Well, here's Carmella, here's what I want to ask you. Now, we know who the perpetrator is. They know who the perpetrator is. But the problem is, they have, you know, when they brought him back from Columbus, Ohio, they did nothing. These people did nothing.
Well,
and knowing
talk,
that he's on parole.
He didn't talk.
He didn't talk.
He didn't respond. So he just got a one-way. He just got to go on the court and get sent to prison. But I was told if you didn't talk and you didn't respond, you was automatically guilty.
Right.
Yes,
especially
yes.
If you're on parole. When you're on parole, and you can't sit there and tell somebody if the officer asks you something, you got to tell them the truth. Well, look, he got a long tail too. I don't see them like he's supposed to be getting out sometime in May. Is that
May
correct, 19th. Carmella? Is that May when he's supposed to
May
get
19th,
out?
2021. But then when I asked the police, do they think he was getting out? They said no, he wasn't getting out. But you'll tell me anything, and then he might walk past me.
Yo, you know what? If the parole board release him, he is getting out. Unless they arrest him when he comes. Yeah, because I know how the parole board works. Once they release you from there, if you don't come get him, he's out here free doing the same thing he's been doing. When they found that blood in his car, in the back seat of that car, when they found Jessica blood in there, and they found that her blood in his house, and then had his front door and all on the door, ain't no way he should have been arrested or something. And but yet still, they don't care enough to make sure that we get justice for Jessica. They don't care enough. All they care about coming in, picking up their checks, and the lead detective is a born racist. He's been a racist all his life, and he married to she's a judge over there now. What's her name? Jennifer. Jennifer. He's married to her, and she's a racist. So
wow.
it's just a whole lot of different stuff that's going on. But we have to keep Jessica Gray's name out here. We got to let people know that she was a daughter. She was a mother. She was a sister, you know, and she got brothers and cousins and different things like that. We have to keep it out there, because if we don't keep it out there, they're not going to do it. And listen, here's something. I never did like 22 News, but that young lady, I love her, because she really cares. And anytime that we want her out there or coming like that, she comes and she be prepared.
Yeah,
and they did a good job. Even on the news, usually the news, they tried to berate black folks and stuff like that. But I think she did a tremendous job reporting it. And I think you know, we already know what happened, but we don't know who's going to be responsible for it, because just by knowing the Benton Township Police Department, I would say that they're a bunch of, I don't even want to say it, because I don't want to get you upset, Ms. Gray, because I know how tough it is. But here's something that I'm going to close both of y'all out with this question. What do you think we should do next? because that group from South Bend, he's been calling and he wants to help. And I don't know. I think we have to put the pressure on Township and make them go out there and do something. I think when this weather get better, we may have to camp out there until things get better. We may have to do that. We may have to camp out there until things get better. And if things don't get better, then you know we're supposed to do. Let's do what we're supposed to do. But Carolyn, you got 2 minutes to tell everybody what you want people to do. I got a lot of people in the chat box asking what can they do to help, and we need to set up a GoFundMe fund.
Start calling Bend Township.
Start calling Bend Township. That's one.
Asking where's Jessica Gray?
Okay, let's do this. We got two things we're going to do. One, we're going to get people to start calling Bend Township. Do you happen to have Bend Township number?
I can get it. I can Google it real fast.
Can you get it real fast for me before you get off the line? I want to make sure they have it. I know it's 925. I can't think of it. But anyway, it's the Bend Township number. We need to call them and ask for the chief of police and ask them, what are they doing about Jessica Gray?
The detective phone number is 269-363-2025.
Repeat that again.
The detective phone number, the lead detective supposed to be on the case, is 269-363-2025.
2025?
Yes.
That's 269-363-2025.
Yes.
Okay. And listen, I want people to start calling this guy's cell phone. And so we can at least let him know that we're not going to forget. And this is the time of the year that we should be out here making these calls and making things happen. We cannot sit back and let this continue just the way it is. Carmella, I was talking about that the guys, the people from South Bend who actually they want to help. So what we got to do, we got to figure out where we're going to do, when we're going to meet.
Yeah,
how
Sherry texted me. The lady texted me as well and asked me what was the outcome. And I didn't even get back in touch with her because I hadn't talked to Carolina and I wasn't in Bend Harbor and I didn't know if she was here because I know she's still with her best friend to try to solve her best friend's nephew's murder as well. So I wasn't in town to talk with her or meet with her.
Absolutely. Well, listen, what we're going to do, what we talked about, we're going to find an attorney who will handle this case, and let's take this to the next level because we know what we need to do. So what we got to do, we got to get out here and do it. It's just that simple. And we're not going to let this go, whether they like it or not. I know Jessica Gray is missing, and we kind of like know who the perpetrator is. We kind of like know that they know who the
perpetrator
is.
He ain't the only perpetrator. It's a handful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not the only. He's not the only one, but he's the main one that we need. But we can take the small potatoes and work with them, too. Because only thing we want to make sure that justice is served for Jessica Gray, and my thoughts is that we got to do something because we can't depend on law enforcement to do anything. Benton Township, Benton Harbor Police Department are the two worst police departments in the whole country, and unable to solve anything, and don't care whether they solve or not because they still get their paychecks anyway, you know. You can see them sitting in the parking lot, my church parking lot. They were sitting in there. I had to tell the guy, I don't like people sitting in my parking lot, I don't want you sitting in our parking lot. And that's because you're not going to do anything anyway. You're probably just trying to hide from your work. And that's what they do. But Caroline, go ahead and take a couple of minutes because I got to move on. Tell us anything else that you want us to say or want us to do.
Y'all basically covered everything, but I just wanted to say to the American people and anybody that's around here in Benton Harbor, if you know anything, please come forward and say something. Please come forward. You know, we coming up with a new year, and best way to start off your new year in 2021 is please come forward and let us know where Team Jessica is at. You know, and also anybody that wants to donate or help money to raise to find out where Jessica is, please, you can send money to Reverend Pigney. I'm pretty sure he going to leave his number or whatever, but we're just asking for the community help, and we're asking for the world help. Anybody that wants to come out and help look for Jessica, just call anytime. And my number is still the same. If you want to talk with me, any suggestion that you have, anything you want me to let me know, my number is still the same. That's 269-861-0687. Please, let's bring my daughter home because I miss her so much. I miss her so much. Please.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those who need to talk, we need to have a phone conference with the police department. You can call them at 269-363-2025. Let's call that. Now, Carmella, you get the last word. Talk to me.
Y'all pretty much covered it. Anybody that knows anything, please don't hesitate to call morning, noon, or night. And like Carolina said, start your 2020 off right.
That's right. Let's do this. And let me say I want to thank y'all both. For y'all did a tremendous job, and we're going to continue spreading the word. And maybe once a month we'll come back on, or whenever you feel like coming on, you're welcome to come on and talk about it, because people are listening and they want to know. And even if Benton Township don't want to help us, we can force them to help us, because there's other groups out here that's willing to come in, and we can come in with bring groups in without Township. But right now it's a year old, and we need somebody to start telling us where. We got a $3,000 reward, which is not a whole lot, but it's better than nothing. And we're putting up the BANCO, the Black Economy Network Communication, the Black Economy Network Community Organization is putting the money up, and we want you to come get that money. You know, come get that money so we can get closure for the family. I want to thank you both for being on. Hey, beautiful. Don't leave us. I'm going to have a couple more people talking about it. Let's make sure that we get the message out there. Thank you so much. God bless both of y'all. All right. All right. Yes, yes, yes. Wow, that is tremendous. I tell you, that is very, very tremendous. I'm going to bring in my good friend, Marcina Cole from Detroit. She's always, you know, she also had a little tragedy in her family. But we got to change. We got to start stepping to the plate. You know, we got to stop saying that it don't concern us. We don't care. You know, and then here's another thing. Just because if you're not thinking about the future of your children or our children, and you think you got it going on, you don't have it going on. You don't, because that's why we're in this position today. That's why these folks don't want to do nothing. They get paid to do a job. And don't do it. Your job is to serve and protect. That's what you're being paid for, though. Get your butt out there and do it. If you don't want to do it, and I don't want to see you people in Benton Harbor, police officers, sitting in my parking lot over there. Don't do it. I don't want you in there because you're trespassing. We know you're not going to do nothing, no way. You don't care about nothing. All y'all care about getting that check. Wow. On that note, Marcina Cole, talk to me.
Hey. How you doing, Reverend Pigney?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
It's been rough, you know. But we have a lot of challenges here, in our lives, particularly people of color. We've always had fights. You know, I'm still grieving about the loss of my relatives, my son, and my sister, and others as well. The inequality that we deal with across this country. The racial disparity in health care and in medical care,
We deal with so much. We fighting all the time when it comes down to survival with the police, when it comes down to black people in your own community feel you a threat and want to kill you. I've had more than three rallies about Stop the Gun Violence. I mean, where are the black folks at? You know, they act like it's no big deal unless the police shoot them. But a bullet, yeah. When somebody shoot it and shoot that bullet, I don't care if it's the police or somebody you know or a stranger, it's still the same effect. It's going to kill you. And we have to address that in our black community about the disparity that we have in so many angles. You know, I'm just kind of fed up. What I was going to talk about, I didn't know who your guest was going to be, but, you know, I can talk at length of that too, you know. But what I really wanted to talk about with all the stuff that's going on in black people's lives, is so much going on in my family and other families about the health, about going into the hospitals and don't come out alive. This is still going on, and people are ignoring it. All this racial divisiveness that's going on from the White House until the Black House in your community. And we need to stick together as one, because what's going on now, the white folks is in charge and the government do not care. We're just a piece of meat. We're going to be we're dying at an alarming rate. We're losing jobs. We're losing our health care. We're losing our lives, our homes. So it's so much going on when we're dealing with the COVID-19, the global pandemic, and look what Trump did with that. We got over 17 million people who had coronavirus across this country, and we also have over 300,000 who died. It's more than that. And then disproportionately, it was more people of color, indigenous people as well, have died from COVID-19. There's something wrong with that picture. When you go in there, I've heard so many stories about with people of color, when they go in and have these symptoms of COVID or asymptomatic, and they test COVID positive COVID-19, they go home and have all these symptoms. And next thing you know, I hear that this person made their transition. The hospitals don't care. The doctors don't care. You're dealing with virtual with the doctors now. I have my daughter right now. I'm very concerned, and I hope that she doesn't have the big C. So we got to go to the doctor tomorrow because of the symptoms she had and the scaring us. So we're dealing with this all the time. We just don't get the same care. We get the same illnesses white people get, but we don't get the economically. We got folks that's unemployed, underemployed. We always didn't get when we were some people were laid off before the COVID, and then they didn't get the same amount of money as the white people got. Now we got the COVID-19, and a lot of black people and Hispanics didn't get called to work, maybe some seasonal job, but not no permanent position. They can't pay their rent. They don't have food on the table. And then they got to stand in long lines to get free food. I've been in the line, too, to help folks. Some folks don't have vehicles to get the food. It's hard for us. It's hard for many people. People don't care because you got these white supremacist folks that's running this country and running this state. They making millions off of us. And people don't realize we're paying for it. For their luxury. Donald Trump, as I speak, I bet he at the golf course. He at the golf course when folks getting this little mediocre $600.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you this, Marcina. I figure by the time Trump leaves here, it's going to be 350,000 people who have died. And
it's going to be more than that, Reverend Pinckney. He is a murderer. I said that so many times I got tired, and I was calling him out and calling him a mob boss and everything. He has blood on his hands. Those people that's not here today, people that I knew, people that I have worked with, friends.
Mm-hmm.
I know folks and relatives that had COVID-19 and almost lost their lives. So we all can tell the story about how it affected folks. But he has blood on his hands. He supposedly had the COVID, and he was feeling good, 100% good, 3 days later, and, you know, waving his hand like the flag, took a break from the hospital, went to wave at the crowd and took his mask off when he was still hospitalized. You know what I mean? Gigolotti and all the mother folks had COVID. Ben Carson, all of them had preferential treatment, you know, with the medication wasn't even proven to work for this virus, this COVID-19. And they used that on them so they can heal quicker. But the general population, we were dying at large numbers. And as we speak right now, we still have this high percentage of folks. And they were saying that 2,600 deaths every day. And that meant a death every 33 seconds. And this was put out some weeks ago. So that's a lot of deaths for us to ignore. And then we got, don't forget, let's not forget the white supremacists. We got so much to worry about. We got to worry about folks want to kill you in your own community. We got the white supremacist folks, the far right, whatever you want to call them, want to kill you, talking about they're going to kill Black Lives Matter folks. In all kind, you know, liberals and all kind of trash that they're talking about and putting it out there, and they have a large followers too out there called Carter. It's a conservative, white wing bunch of white supremacists. They got 10 million followers because they didn't like the rules that Twitter and Facebook had, and they got their own thing. So we got. So we dealing with all this being all this paranoid setting us in our minds and developing mental illness because of what the shape that we're in across this country when we have this so-called leader who started this pandemic in this country who allowed it to spread because he didn't care. And so it spread out of control, and it COVID-19 ain't over with. So it affected us economically, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we can't pay the bills and can't provide for our families. So we need each other at this time. Nobody's better than another person. We all need to work together as one. And people, I guess we black folks just don't understand that. Because, see, you waiting on a hand, a handout with them folks in the government. They could care less about you. And they don't want to hear nothing about racism. They want to turn their ears. They want to plug their ears and keep their mouth closed about racism. Mm. They will tell you off when you start talking about racism. They don't want to hear that.
They don't
want
to hear. And they be the most racist people of all. My friend, your president said he wants to give us $2,000. Was he trying to hijack the whole plan? This is my take on this. The $600 was going to go out immediately. He could have waited the next week and put a bill together or put an executive order together that could give people $2,000, extra dollar, whatever it is. But I think see, a lot of times you got a lot of white folks who won't face reality that this guy, he hijacked that plan. That's what he did. He hijacked that plan and got people thinking one thing, and just to hold the money up so the economy won't be good, too. That's what he's banking on, you see. This guy is a slime ball, and the people had the nerve to go vote for him. What kind of person would vote for somebody like him? 74 million people voted for him.
Right. And you know what? That $600 stimulus check, that he claiming – Trump claiming that, you know, he supported the $2,000 stimulus check, you know, as on his way out, when he's lying because his own treasurer secretary, Stephen Mnuchin, M-N-U-C-H-I-N, he's the one suggesting $600. So how you going to turn around and say it, oh, I think this is horrible what they're doing? No, that was under your administration. that
That's
wanted
right.
a lesser amount. But see, the thing about it is he's saying all this just to appease the people, like, oh, look at Trump. He wants to take care of the people that's unemployed. And that's all a big lie. As I mean, he done lied about 50,000 times. Every time he speaks, which when he speaks, is very threatening and very unintelligible. So he has very few words when it comes down to the English language. You don't know that very much. So people are putting a bug in his ear, some of his cabinet members or whatever, because half the time when he lies, because he don't know how to put his words together, and then somebody feed him what to say and everything. So you can't believe what he says. I know he's very dangerous because he has a lot of white supremacist followers because he's one of them, you know, and,
absolutely.
And it's real. So, you know,
listen,
the government
Marcina,
might have a shutdown.
Right. Marcina, this is what I want to ask you. We're going to put a team together for Jessica Gray. Family, and I want to put a GoFundMe page together, and I'm
okay.
hoping that you might be able to help me do that. If not, maybe we can get
okay.
Jackie to do it. Put a GoFundMe page together for the family, because we're putting up $3,000 as a reward, but it doesn't seem like it's enough to shake these people here. And I'm talking about these people here are very poor. These are by no means rich. Maybe if you could take the time out and put up, we'll talk about this maybe after the show.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Just give me the information how you want it written, and then you want
okay.
to, when the GoFundMe page, you want it to spread not just in the state of Michigan, outside that, because if you're dealing with somebody who don't have much money, you won't get much money. So you want to reach out to
okay.
folks who got some money, and they got money for beer and cigarettes, they got money to help this mother and the family, other family members, to find out where is Jessica Gray and want justice
Absolutely.
For her. So, you know, break down the words.
I'll try. We'll put something together so we can get something done for the family. And I should have done it sooner, but my thing is that we got to do what we got to do. Listen, I got to let you go. I got to bring in Melinda
okay,
Parker Brown. I got to bring in
okay.
my good friend Jesse. And but let's talk later on.
We do that. All righty.
All okay. right now. With my good friend Marcina, we're going to put together a GoFundMe page for the family and take them there. Let me bring in my good friend Melinda Parker Brown, the one and only. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me.
Wow, Pastor Pinckney, I'm really enjoying your show. I mean, just, you know, a lot going on, but you're doing a fantastic job with bringing these people that can tell their stories and be able to get the help, you know, across the country, Pastor Pinckney. That's what it's all about, all of us coming together. None of us are alone in this, Pastor
That's
Pinckney.
Right.
That's one thing we have to realize. It's not just happening to you or your family. It's happening to a lot of people. And
Absolutely.
We're all, the unique thing about it is that we're all coming together on you know, blog talk, radio shows like Pinckney Show and what you're doing. It means a lot to us, Pastor Pinckney. We appreciate you so much. And all the great work that you're doing to bring people together to be able to have an outlet or avenue or something where, you know, people really understand what this is about and what families are going through when they're dealing with situations like this. You know, that is so sad that Jessica is still missing and don't nobody know what happened to her. And we supposed to have the police department, you know, investigators and all of these powerful people, you know, on this situation, and no information has come to bring any type of relief. You know, something is wrong with that picture. It just, you know, you can't help but think that it's some sort of cover up.
Yeah.
So
it was people there. See, one thing, it was people at the scene when this happened. And they know exactly what happened. And, you know, but I blame the police department. Shabby work. when you have shabby work like that, this is what happens. And they don't really care. They got, you know,
right.
Do you know Kathy Yates? Do you know Kathy Yates?
Yeah, I know Kathy Yates. Benton Harbor.
Right. I kind of figured you were. See, she's a city. She's a supervisor now. What's called? But she don't care about black folks.
You know, those type of people, you know, petty bourgeois people, you know, trying to get a name for themselves. And then, you know, we just been lied to. You know, the police is supposed to be there to protect and serve us. That's a big lie, Pastor Pinckney. And it's bringing a lot of unrest across the country that, you know, these people, you know, hateful, evil, wicked, you know, just dirty, low down, no good for people, then infiltrated our leadership. You know, they have, you know, set up, like you said, they have hijacked our leadership. And then, you know, we got to stand by and see this type of, it's like it's tyranny, it's torture to us as human beings that we can't, we got to go ask the very people for help that's bringing about this type of oppression against us. You know, we got to do something different than we have ever done before, because we cannot take this type of foolishness into 2021, Pastor Pinckney, and looking for help in all the wrong places when we know that these people are not intended to help us in the first place.
Absolutely. You know what, Belinda Parker Brown, you are 100% correct. And look, why would you go to someone who's oppressing you to ask them to help you? To me, that's, you know, I mean, that sounds like to me like an insane person. You got me enslaved. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to you and ask you to help me and expect you to help me? How stupid can we get, Belinda?
Right, and that's what's wrong, Pastor Pinckney. We are definitely coming to that reality, you know, slowly but surely. People have woke up, and they're saying they're not going to tolerate this type of foolishness anymore. And that's the reason why we have people like yourself and many, many others that are coming and together and uniting on this effort, that we're just not going to tolerate this type of treatment. And when we say that, you know, it's, you know, it's going to be a selected group of people, but it's going to be some very powerful people like yourself, Pastor Pinckney, and the great work that you're doing, that are going to bring the people to a place where we're going to get justice for Jessica Gray. We got to get justice for this young lady, for this family. We cannot rest, slumber, or sleep until we get justice for Jessica Gray. That's just the bottom line. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to fall for the lies. We're not going to keep on going to the same people that is a part of the problem, asking them for help. You know, it's on the move right now as we speak. And I just want to say, Pastor Pinckney, I was so happy to have you participate in a worldwide press conference. A worldwide press conference. That means that everybody all over the world came to this press conference. You know, we were live screaming on Facebook, YouTube, all of the social media outlets. And we have been getting calls from Africa, London, Europe, you know, everywhere. People been calling us, the UK, you know, calling us about that press conference. They even just put something out on MSNBC, you know, in regards to how the prisons are just blatantly disregarding the COVID-19 inside of the prison population. The news is breaking. You know, it is definitely a breaking news story when it comes to people dying and genocide being committed right here in the United States of America, and we got a president that's just turning a deaf ear to it. You know, we got leaders that's turning a deaf ear to it. We got our senators, our legislators, our congresspeople. Everybody want to celebrate while these people are dying right before our eyes, and nobody seems to care. So what we're saying is that we're going to take it to the whole world. This is
Amen.
This is very, very important right now, Pastor Pickney, that we unite and we all come together and we build our table. We're not going to their table anymore. It's garbage on their table. It's slop on their table. We don't want nothing that they've given us, and we're not asking them for nothing. We're going to demand justice, and we're not going to ask permission for Jessica Gray and her family. That's what we're going to do.
All right. That is beautiful, young lady. Listen, I got to move on. But listen, let's make things happen around here, because we got to stay focused and do what we need to do. But listen,
you know one thing, Pastor Pickney, I'm going to say this: we got something coming up real soon, and I'm not at liberty to talk about it on the show today, but I just want you to know that it's going to be so big and so powerful to the whole world is gonna know that this is it. This is the big one, Pastor Pickney, that we all been waiting on. This is the change, the real change that the people really need to see. And I just wanna say, without you, people like you, Pastor Pickney, and I'm talking about some powerful people like my comrade, Ralph mm-hmm. and Betty Davis, Sister Betty Davis, Brother Ralph Corner, mm-hmm. just some powerful people that, I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pickney, it's not going to be nothing nice. It's, when you say showtime, it's showtime, and when you say it's going down, it's going down,
it's going
Pastor
down.
Pickney.
All right, girl. I get excited
when I think about it, because what happened is that when the giant go to sleep, don't nobody want to wake him up. But I'm here to tell you, we didn't woke up the sleeping giant, and it's on. It's on and popping. Yeah. It's on and cooking, and we about to take it all the way to the bridge, like Jane Brown said. We gonna take it to the bridge, and we gonna cross over.
There you go, my girl. All right, Belinda Parker Brown. Thank you so much. I'm excited myself now. Listen, let's talk soon.
All right, Pastor Pickney. Thank you. Have a great show.
All right. That was my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. Let me bring in the one and only Jesse from beautiful Texas. He's here. Jesse, talk to me. Jesse. Hello? Jesse, can you hear me? Okay. All right. Well, listen, I just want everybody to know that what we're doing now.
Hello, can you hear me, Pastor?
I can hear you, Jesse. Talk to me.
Okay, basically, last time I detailed how the governor of Texas was caught attempting to conceal that the microwave radiation is maiming and torturing to dead children and other unsuspecting victims, and to conceal that the government-sponsored bullying is provoking children and the mentally disabled to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism to justify and the fabricated excuses on national security, the massive and harmful direct energy surveillance on schools and even homes. A request to protect our children was submitted to Dr. Miguel Cardona, who is to be the new secretary of the U.S. Department of Education, and it is posted on the case law section of wirelesswatchblog.org. Case law section of wirelesswatchblog.org. And basically, because of the limitations, thank you, Pastor, and maybe I will be here next week.
All right. Is that all you have to tell me today, or you got something else you want to tell me, or what?
Do I have how many minutes do I have, sir? I don't know.
Why don't you take five more minutes?
Okay, we got
exactly five more minutes.
Thank you, sir. It's basically. Yes, I live in Cherryland. This is an area. This is an area of my hometown, Mission, Texas, which is known to be a hotspot of vicious hate groups. According to a professor of Texas history, the descendants of those who in 1921 and with the Texas Rangers murder more than 5,000 Mexicans to take their land, and they still live in this area. According to my professors, these hate groups have incorporated themselves into federal and state law enforcement and investigative agencies, where they continue pursuing their hatred agendas. According to my professor, veterans returning from the World War II were murdered by those hate groups with the help of the Texas Rangers. After I filed a lawsuit against school officials to stop from maiming and torturing children to death with the microwave radiation in school, a federal agent called me to tell me to be careful with my children because a child had been sent to her parents and pieces on a box after the parents denounced a school official corruption. The federal agent told me that this crime was not to make it to the news because the hate groups and the feds were involved. For many years, the FBI, the CIA, and even the Secret Service have been fully aware of the fact that government-sponsored bullying is provoking children and the mentally disabled to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism to justify under fabricated excuses on national security, the massive and harmful directed energy surveillance of schools and even homes to benefit the $1 trillion wireless industrial complex. Evidence on the record proves how the feds attempted to fabricate a nuclear 9/11 to justify the massive and harmful directed energy surveillance even of homes. A director of the U.S. Department of Transportation claimed in federal court in Brownsville, Texas, that the feds framed him with child pornography in retaliation for denouncing how the feds attempted to smuggle from South America a small nuclear bomb that was to be detonated on an American city, although the deep state judge found the claims alarming, he refused to allow the evidence on the record. Sir, thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, and listen, let's talk during the week because I want you to come back next week, and because I know you got that way you can have more time.
Yes, sir.
All
thank
right.
you for being an angel. Thank you, sir.
Ah, thank you, there, Big Jesse. Talk to you soon. Listen, here's the plan. First of all, we got to stop Whirlpool Corporation. Even with that Harvest Shores program that they put in operation, where they trick black folks into signing over land that belongs to the city of Benton Harbor, will now become St. Joseph, Michigan, a community that's 95% Caucasian. They tricked them. They paid them a few dollars underneath the table, and they took land that's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. We must stop Whirlpool Corporation. Maybe this pandemic will stop them, but we have to help. Do not buy Whirlpool products, whatever you do. Also, they gave them an overview of the police department board with no subpoena power. It's a group of people who have no idea what's going on in the community, what's going on with the police department, that they're protected. But they put it together for them. It was led by a group of people who have no knowledge of exactly what's going on or what should be going on. But fortunately, anytime that you sleep with the enemy, you're always going to come up with some fleas. So that's the way it is. You sleep with them, you're going to come up with some fleas, and that's it. But we must stand together, fight together. Let's see, can we get closure for the Gray family? That's crucial. Those of you who are out there, we're going to put up a GoFundMe page, and I'm hoping that people will start contributing to it because we want to get that reward up to about $10,000. I'm putting up $3,000 of my money, but we need to do it to make this thing happen. On that note, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station. Talk to you all soon.